That's not very warm and fuzzy, and maybe not even very Christian. What do we do with that?
Well, I start off with that by explaining that my version of stop it is get over it, which is, doesn't sound warm and fuzzy, but, you know, there are times when I have to say it to myself, Mary, will you just get over it and move on? You're stuck in something foolish and unnecessary.
So when is it appropriate to ask that of yourself, I guess, Mary, because maybe something is fresh and new and there needs to be maybe a bit of grieving. What do you say?
You mean when you've had a recent hurt or recent pain?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't, and I say this in the book, I'm not implying that everything we can just say, get over it and move on. And it does sound harsh. And so we have to work through our pains. We have to work through our sorrows. We have to go through the process of putting everything behind us so we can move forward. But I think many times we let our identity become our pains and our suffering and our sorrow instead of thinking of letting God through the Holy Spirit really help us to get over it so we can move forward. If you're stuck in a pain or a sorrow, if you're stuck there, you can't move forward with God.
Yeah, you talk about over the years of experience that you've had, you call it basically it's bondage, and it's women, but then it's men too. We'll include men into this conversation, right? But when you put that word bondage on it, boy, there's no freedom in that.
There really isn't, PK, and you're right, it's universal. It doesn't just apply to women. But, for example, that first chapter I talk about get over your hurt feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we women are ultra-sensitive. God created us that way, and that's the way we should be. But if you take that to the extreme and you let everything hurt your feelings and you get stuck in those hurt feelings and you exaggerate them and you have a continual pity party, you know, it's time to just say, wait a minute, life is too short. I've got too many things to do for the kingdom. I'm really going to let the Holy Spirit deliver me from this bondage. I found for a long time I was in bondage to pity parties. I mean, I didn't think of it that way, but I threw pity parties at the drop of a hat, you know? And finally, I got sick and tired of it, and I began to pray about it. And now I just, when I start into those pity party times, I say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go there. It's not, there's no fun at this party.
Mm-hmm.
Talking with Mary Welchel here on Faith Radio Mornings. She is founder of the Christian Working Woman and also author of the book Get Over It, Letting Go and Moving On with God. Well, we're talking about that joy-robbing bondage. That can start subtly and really develop over time. How does that happen? How can we recognize it, Mary?
Well, and of course, it comes in all kinds of disguises, and the enemy of our soul doesn't want us to recognize it. That's the hard part. But, for example, false guilt. You know, you can just live your life carrying on around this baggage of guilt, mm-hmm. and you don't even realize it. And I talk in the book about just learning to be aware of what is false guilt and what is true guilt. True guilt is when God's dealing with you. You deal with it, and he forgives you, and you move on. But false guilt is very deceptive because it feels just like true guilt, but it's feeling guilty over something which you have no reason to feel guilty about. And often we don't even know what we feel guilty about. We just feel guilty. And so you have to start praying about these things. I think that's the key for me, to pray specifically about, Lord, show me areas in my life where I'm too sensitive, where I feel guilty, where I'm comparing myself to other people. And those are some of the issues I deal with in the book that we have to get over and move forward.
That's truly casting your burdens unto Jesus, as the word tells us to do, is praying specifically about that. I like that.
Yeah.
Are there certain scripture verses that you fall back on when you find yourself getting into that trap? Because it's easy to do that. Sometimes it can be a pretty quick spiral, you know, just making one mistake as you're going through your day, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, the self-talk might start in. But what scriptures do you run to, and how do you stop that spiral? Two different questions, I guess.
Well, it's through the Word of God, but Philippians 4:8, think about what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Think about these things. You see, these problems are 99.9% in our thought processes. It's what we allow ourselves to think about. It's what's occupying our minds. And the Bible says we have been given the mind of Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit, and we can learn to replace wrong thinking with right thinking. So I find that when I'm in one of these spots, it's because my thoughts have gone to the wrong place. It's because I'm allowing myself to think about things that I should not be thinking about. And so I tell you, for 30 years, God's been teaching me, and I'm still learning this lesson of bringing every thought into captivity and making it obedient to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's the secret for me.
Yeah, that verse is powerful because that, mm-hmm. that gives us that directive and the direction yeah. that we need to be going instead of letting that spiral just continue. And then yeah. it goes into the hands of the enemy, like you're talking about. Satan wants to just to rob, steal, and destroy all of that from us. And so he's just going to help that too, I think. So,
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, we're talking with Mary Welchel this morning. Her book is called Get Over It. And we're going to continue our conversation with her in a moment. Dr. Erwin Lutzer said to read this book and pass it along to others who need to quit wallowing in their past, no matter how terrible it might be, and just unload the baggage they have carried far too long. We'll get some more great steps to freedom from Mary Welchel coming up next on Faith Radio Mornings.
Reminder from Jars of Clay that God will lift up our head and our hearts and stay centered on Him. That's where the peace that passes all understanding comes from, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in your past, what might be holding you captive from becoming all that God has for you in your work, in your life, in your family. Healing is possible, and you can get unstuck. We're talking with Mary Welchel today about her book, Get Over It, Letting Go and Moving On with God. Some great help from her today.
Mary, help us a little bit as we're going through some of these topics in your book, because I know that there's steps to freedom for each of these. So you had mentioned, you know, the fact that sometimes the hurt feelings can hold us down, or the false guilt, comparing ourselves. I think a big one, too, is sometimes we find ourselves in a place of needing other people's approval, and we don't feel like we've really achieved something until we get to that place. How can you help us through maybe that topic a little bit? Because it's God's approval that we're really going for, that audience of one, right? But how do we kind of walk through that confusing part of that?
Well, I think, okay, that it begins with being grounded in the Word of God. I've been teaching and on the radio for almost 30 years, and I cannot get away from my own life and in my teaching that the basic foundation is always that we be grounded in God's Word. And until we take the time to pour that Word into our life, to know it, to memorize it, to live it, we're always going to have struggles with all these various things. So it begins there. But when I think about moving on with God in areas of like comparing yourself to others and trying to please others, I think of the years that I spent thinking that if people didn't approve of me, if I didn't get their okay, then something was wrong with me. And I wish I had learned earlier in life to find my identity in who I am in Christ. One of the things I've been focusing on lately is what the Apostle John said his identity was. If you read the Gospel, 5 times in the Gospel of John, he says, I am the one Jesus loves. He refers himself to himself as the one Jesus loves. Now, of course, Jesus loved the other apostles, but John's identity was, I'm the one Jesus loves. That's who I am. You want to know about me? Well, Jesus loved me. And, you know, I'm just going back to that simple truth. I'm the one Jesus loves. Wow. How great is that? If Jesus loves me and there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, and He has forgiven me and He's given me His Holy Spirit, then if other people approve or don't approve, you know, obviously I'd prefer to have approval than disapproval. But the Bible says when you're at peace with God, you have you have much more, it's much more likely you'll be at peace with others. In other words, when we please God, we'll please more people than any other way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a bondage, and it was for me for so many years, to want and need others to say you're okay,
mm-hmm.
you're doing good. And to get beyond that is real freedom.
Yeah, that's
helpful.
It's very hopeful. I think sometimes we get stuck in maybe unintentionally really liking the pity party, if that makes sense. What I mean is, if somebody were to confront us about our situation, we have an answer for it. Well, some things like you write about in your book that say, you wouldn't be positive if you worked for my boss, or I'd be happy if I weren't married to her. We have these excuses. How can we move from making excuses to just finding the hope?
Well, you know, we do. We shift the blame, and we just refuse to face the issues that our problem is us. My biggest problem is me. And I think you really have to start praying about it. One of the things I talk about in the chapter on feeling sorry for yourself and hurt feelings is start praying that God will make you sick and tired of having pity parties, that you'll just get sick of them. That's what happened to me some years ago. I remember coming home from work one night. I had a terrible boss, or at least I thought I did, and I was feeling sorry for myself. Poor me. I'm single. There's nobody here. Nobody cares. All the junk we think when we're having a pity party. And it was a page-turning time in my life when I thought, I don't want to go there. I don't want to feel sorry for myself. That's miserable. And I finally got sick of feeling sorry for myself. And now I really, you know, I go back to that. I still throw pity parties, but I stop them a lot quicker than I used to because I think, this is miserable. I don't want to be miserable. And, you know, when we throw a pity party, we exaggerate things.
Mm-hmm.
And what was a little offense becomes huge in our minds. And the more we think about it, the more we feel sorry for ourselves. It's just crazy to make yourself miserable. It's self-inflicted misery.
And I think sometimes it's easy because you don't really know. Some things can be truly a problem that you need to address and take care of.
Right.
And sometimes I think we get stuck in the middle, like, okay, well, this is probably no big deal. So you feel like it's just a pity party for yourself, where maybe it is a problem that you need to address. So
right.
You know, finding the wisdom, and that's the prayer part, I'm guessing, too, is just that, you know, knowing the difference between the two.
Yeah, and I suggest in the book that if your feelings have been hurt and you've been offended, write it down. Sit down at your computer or whatever, write it out. What would you like to say to this person? And then unless there's a need to address it immediately, just hold it for a couple of days. And then go back to it and say, now, do I really need to address this offense with this person? Sometimes that's important to do. It's very important to do, not only for your sake, but for their sake. And God doesn't call us to be doormats. So if after a couple of days you read it again and you go, I really need to talk to her or him about this, then pray about it. Go when you're in control of your emotions and do as the Bible instructs us to do, to go to the person who's offended us and talk to them directly about it instead of gossiping about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if after 2 days you look at it and you go, you know what, that's no big deal. I don't really care that much. It's not worth a confrontation. Then tear it up or delete it and let it go.
Mm-hmm.
But some things definitely need to be addressed for sure.
Something that I don't think we talk about very much is discontentment. And you address discontentment with being single. I think that's a very real issue with a lot of men and women who would love to be married but just have not found that person, don't seem to be having anybody on the horizon. So I'd like you to address that. But then even discontentment with us overall as Christians, as human beings, you know, what if, or if only, then my life would be perfect. You know, all these things that just keep us, I think, from being what God wants us to be. Talk about the singleness aspect and then how that relates to everybody.
The Apostle Paul wrote, I have learned to be content. So it's something we have to learn and we can learn. And I struggled with being single, discontentment with being single for 10 years. I thought this was the worst thing in the world to not be married, and I was determined, believe me, I was determined not to be single. And it just led me into a self-focused, selfish existence. It caused me to get my priorities all confused. I made being married the god of my life. It was an idol. And I did it far too long. And my heart just goes out to single people who are struggling with that. And I just want to say, learn from my mistakes. Don't go there. Recognize that in this world, this sin-cursed world, nothing's perfect. And so, yeah, we're missing some things because we're single. But look at the good things that you have because you're single. And look around you. How many good marriages do you really see? Does it solve everybody's problem? No, it doesn't. And just ask God to help you to learn to be content, to appreciate the good things about singleness. And, you know, when you're discontent with singleness, you become less attractive to people of the opposite sex. I mean, it's like a disease, and it makes you less, what should I say, less likely to find someone because it just kind of shows all over you. So learning to be content is so important, not only singleness, but, you know, with your job, with wherever God has you. If you're there and God hasn't moved you, you want to be content there. It doesn't mean you like everything or you don't want things to change or you're not going to try to make some changes, but at the moment to say, God, this is where I'm at. This is where you've got me. What do you have for me at this point in my life?
Mm-hmm. That's good words. Again, we're talking with Mary Welchel here on Faith Radio Mornings, author of the book Get Over It, Letting Go and Moving On with God. In the last 90 seconds or so we have with you, Mary, the news headlines today, again, very bad, very dark. They can drag us down, and if we're already stuck, it can just add fuel to that fire. What's a word of hope for people that are really struggling with maybe the news of the day and their current circumstances? Can you just offer some encouragement?
Sure can. You know, this world is so, so sad. We're starting a ministry here for women who have been sexually abused and trafficked, and your heart just breaks as you read the statistics. And I want my heart to break with what breaks God's heart. I want to be aware of what's happening. But at the same time, it's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. And if we lose the joy, we're going to lose our strength. We're going to lose our hope. One of the things that helps me, and I was just listening this morning to good music. I know you guys play good music. And the music God gives us to encourage us and strengthen us, I think that's one way to keep the joy going. But it's the joy that's going to keep you strong through all of these hard things in life. It's a sin-cursed world. But the good news is we've read the last chapter. Jesus will come. We are going to have a new heaven and a new earth. We're going to reign with him forever. And we have to live with that eternal viewpoint.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Our guest this morning has been Mary Welchel. She's founder of the Christian Working Woman and also author of the book Get Over It, Letting Go and Moving On with God. Thank you for just giving us some honest answers, Mary, and just encouraging us to be all that God wants us to be.
Thank you so much.